Amen. I remember back home in the, as a young preacher, they used to sing, "It's real, it's real. I know it's real. This Pentecostal blessing, I know it's real." You know, they don't sing it anymore in Pentecost. You know why? Half of us don't have the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can't sing something that you don't have. It's not real. When it's real, it's real. How many can say it's real? Well, I come, I think, with a message for somebody tonight. I don't know how many of you, but I've come with a message for somebody tonight. I think that you're about at that point. Maybe it's for the whole church, but if I felt like it was for an individual, a family maybe, you're at that point. Right at that point, if you keep on going, pleasing God, He's going to break it open for you. Now, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. I've never claimed to be a prophet. There have been times when the Holy Ghost has used me. That's His prerogative. Amen. Amen. So mark it down, write it down, whatever you want to do, because I feel it so strongly in my heart that I'm not afraid for you to write it down. Somebody, if you will, listen to my preaching tonight and see if it is to you. We taught in Sunday school, try the Spirit. Anybody that has the Spirit of God doesn't mind being tried. The Bible says, prove all things and hold fast that which is good.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. The book of Galatians, chapter number 6, and verse number 9 and 10. Galatians, chapter number 6, verses 9 and 10. And my reader is back with me. You need to borrow the Bible. Oh, you got one. You're ready. All right, let's go. You have to retrain them after you give them time off.
Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith."
Amen.
Amen.
Everybody say amen to the reading of God's word.
Amen.
Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Conditional. We shall reap if we faint not. What will cause us to faint? Not taking opportunities as they come, and doing good unto all men. That means live a follow peace with all men and holiness without, which no man shall see the Lord. And especially get along with one another, especially unto them who are of the household of faith.
Amen.
Amen. God would help me. I want to preach on that, trying to hold on and not fainting. I don't know appropriate title. Faint not, persevere. You can come up with one better than I can. But I want to preach to you about that. The best thing that you can understand about perseverance is accepting God's course that He lays out in front of you. Sometimes it doesn't make good sense, because there's stopping and startings. There's times when you have to ascend. There's times when you must humble yourself and descend. There's times that your mood is so important that you fail not to have the right mood at the right time. There's times when you're going to be tested to see if your reaction. And if your reaction is not right to the test, you will be recycled. You will start over again. Amen. So this wonderful night here at Dryden Road, I want to talk to you about the course of life that's laid out for every one of us. And every one of us has a course we must finish. We must come to grips with that. You cannot do away with God's plan for your life and please Him. How many knows that God has a plan for your life? If therefore there is a plan of God for your life, a course that God has got laid out, every man that does it will hear a well done. Every man who alters it, changes it, or fails it will have a hard time convincing God he has done his best.
That's right.
And sometimes second best isn't good enough.
Right.
It depends upon the calling. So when we look at these courses, look at Moses for just a moment and look at his breakdown. Moses, 40 years in the courts of Egypt, 40 years as a shepherd in Midian, and then 40 years as leading God's people. 40, 40, 40. Total life of 120 years. At the end of the 120 years, he was a physical specimen for a man his age. Eyes not dim, strength not abated, fellowship with God, speaking tongues. Everything was right except for one mistake. And that one mistake cost him his entrance into the promised land. And because of that one mistake, he only got to view it afar off. So how important is the course laid out for you? Very. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Sometimes we understand that we don't like delays. Moses found 40 years of thinking he was something. Then he found 40 years of facing that he was nothing. And then he had 40 years of facing that God could do anything and everything that was needed to be done. So how does a man make up for the 40 years that he spends in the wilderness? Keeping sheep. How do we do that? Well, the first thing that we have to figure in God's course for our life is sometimes there are delays.
Right.
God does not make promises and fulfill them all the time immediately. Sometimes there is that process of waiting.
Right.
And anyone who has a problem with waiting has a problem with God. Can somebody help me preach? Now Moses is a prime example. He was in the wilderness for 40 years. God was keeping the hourglass. And it was running through. The 39th year, the 11th month, and now the day had come. Just that simple. God doesn't get in a hurry. God never gets in a hurry. So when you want God to do it now, it may not be done now. But God can do it.
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Moses found himself not knowing that his time and appointment with God was so near. He simply filled his days of that 40 years in the wilderness with nothing but hard work. That's all it was. Morning, night, shepherd the sheep, take care of his family. That's all he did. Shepherd sheep, take care of my family. For 40 years, he had not heard the Egyptian tongue. For 40 years, he had not heard anyone recite any Jewish history. For 40 years, he was there in the Midian country by himself. And he was out of touch with everything that he was in touch with before he had to flee.
Yes, sir.
For 40 years, he watched the Hebrews suffer. For 40 years, he learned Egyptian scientists and Egyptian knowledge, which they were probably the best educated people of that day. He had very great intent to being able to do anything because he was a prince in the house of Pharaoh. But all of a sudden, in a day, that was all over with. He was now Moses in exile. He was now a prince without a country. He was now going to go and become a shepherd. Did he know when he left Egypt that he would be a shepherd? No. But God did. And God knew that in 39 years and 11 months and so many days that he had an appointment with Moses. Did Moses know it? No. But God does not always have to tell us what He's doing.
Right.
In fact, He reserves the right not to tell you what He's doing. Because if you knew what He was doing, you would not need faith. But when you don't know what God's doing, you must believe God.
Right. Amen.
Amen. So this day came, and how does God get Moses to the appointed place? He just simply steps into a bush. Now, you've heard that sermon preached so often that it's old hat, Sunday school stuff, but look at it again. Here is God, knowing that a man will be coming by this bush. And God is going to give him an opportunity to turn aside and start on another course of life. If he doesn't turn aside, he will die a shepherd. God will not come back. God is here with one appointment. And that appointment is now on the day, scheduled for the hour, scheduled for the moment, that Moses comes by the bush. And Moses does come by the bush. The strange thing that sometimes draws us is not that it's scriptural, because there was no Bible. Moses wrote the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible.
Right. Yes,
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Moses wrote those books. So there was no written literature that Moses could turn to. How does God do? What does God do? What does God think? How will God react? Nothing. He had no insight but his heart and his mind. So what does God do? 40 years, his heart is out of whack with God. But his mind is always, always alert. So what does God do? Steps into a bush. And God is a consuming fire. But here the bush is not being consumed. And Moses watched. There was many bushes. Only one was on fire. The bush was not important. It's the fire inside of the bush that is so mysterious and supernatural.
Right.
Here is a fire that doesn't consume. Here is a fire that is literally a fire, but it's not acting like a fire.
Right.
So the scientific mind of Moses steps out of the character of a shepherd. He goes back to Egypt as a prince, and he remembers the schools and the tutors, and all of a sudden he said, I must turn aside.
Right.
I've not met a problem like this since I left Egypt.
Right.
I will turn aside and see why this bush is not burning. So God set the appointment, 39th year, 11th month, and now he's down to the minutes that he will be liberated from being a shepherd and will become a deliverer.
Right.
It's now within the hour that Moses is going to be taken off of the shelf,
yeah,
and commissioned of God.
Amen.
To do a great work which he's always been born to do.
Amen.
You see, it's just a matter of waiting until God gets ready. And when God gets ready, you've got to move.
Right.
So Moses draws near to the bush, and God said, now go, Moses, I want you to do something for me. And he talks to him out of the bush and said, now just stop right there, Moses, and take your shoes off. This ground is holy ground. And any time a man draws nigh to God, he will finally come to that patch of holy ground where he must take his shoes off and say, without you, I can do nothing. When he must humble himself and say, you're God and I am your creature. There must be a time when we say, you're right, I am so wrong. You are so holy and I am so human. We must come to that moment, and God will not allow Moses to walk on holy ground as he is. He must stop, and he must take his shoes off and admit he's a failure.
Right.
Oh,
amen.
And the minute he is willing to take his shoes off, God allows him on holy ground. And all of a sudden, his life is stopped and put on another track. But the course goes on. Now Moses must be answerable, not for just sheep, but God has him shepherding 2 million plus people. He goes from a handful of sheep to a multitude of people who he is responsible to get out of Egypt. Amen. You're not listening. I don't think you're listening. I need to get you to listen to me, because you've got to listen to the language. You got to understand the event that took place. If you don't, it's just another Bible story. But if you begin to see that God is leading you, you're in the 39th year, and you've come to the 11th month, and now you're down to the last day. And the day is breaking into the hour of your meeting God, and God changing your life forever. For Moses will go from an exiled prince to a shepherd, but now he will go to a lawgiver, and he will become the greatest man in Jewish literature. And all because he turns aside. Do you have time to turn aside? Do you have time to listen to God? Do you know God's going to try you? That's why the Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing.
Right.
Keep on doing what you're doing. Right. Moses kept on shepherding. First year, second year, 39th year, he's still a shepherd. Still a shepherd. But no longer, when it gets to the 39th year, the 11th month, and the last day, and the hour now has arrived, the bell has rung, the phone is ringing, Moses, pick it up, God's got a message for you. You're not going to be like this no more. You're not going to be exiled no more. I'm going to take you back to Egypt, but I'm taking you back as a deliverer. You're going to speak for me. And the words that you say, I will back it with all of my omnipotence.
Right.
You speak it, I'll do it. And all of a sudden God moves into partnership with Moses, and Moses will never be the same again.
Come on, Brother Billy. Come on.
Are you ready for that hour that changes your life? Are you ready for that hour that puts you closer to God? Are you ready for that hour that brings a divine intervention into your life, that takes you out of the category of common into the supernatural? Are you ready for that day that God has planned for you, that he can speak to you, you can respond and start doing something for God that will last for all eternity? Let us not be weary in well doing. Say, Brother Son, I've never done anything in my life. So it was with D.L. Moody. So it has been with a lot of men. This calling is only once in a lifetime. Moses thought that there will always, always be years of isolation. He would never break out. His mistake in Egypt had cost him so great that he didn't fear there was any future for him except shepherding. Little did he know, little did he understand, that the course of God is sometimes very mysterious. You see, it's right there. There were no indicators that this was Moses' hour, when God was going to take him out of nowhere and put him back in the heart of Egypt. There was no indicator that Moses was now past the test and that God was going to make a deliverer out of him. No indicator at this moment that the rod that he had, this little shepherd rod that he had packed around, was so potent with God's power. But God, now that he has Moses' attention, starts the education of the supernatural. Notice how he introduces it. First, he hears the voice of God. And then God says, I am that I am. I can do it. I have heard the cries of my people. I have come down because of their cries, but I'm sending you. And always God has somebody. See, I've prayed here the last little while since I'm approaching my 70. I've asked God, who are you going to raise up not to take my place? But I look at this next generation and I wonder, who is going to be the person that will stand for sound doctrine? Who is it going to be that's going to receive the touch of God, that's going to be put up there in the responsible place to be a voice for God? Who is it? Because I know God's not going to turn me young and send me back. I have preached my message. I have stood my test. I have passed it, in that I am now standing before you, and I have no accusations against me. I have taken no man's money. I have coveted no man's pulpit. I have not been a political preacher. I have been God's voice.
Yes, you have.
Right.
And therefore I asked God, who's coming off of the shelf? Who is this mantle going to fall on? Elisha, plowing with his father's oxen, had no idea that the mantle had already been settled, and that God had spoken about him to Elijah, and that it had all been part of God's plan. And now Elijah is going away and Elisha is going to stay, and there's going to be a transferring of power. What was Elisha doing when Elijah came by? He was plowing. What was Moses doing when God stopped him? He was shepherding. What are you doing now? The same thing you've done for a long time, but tomorrow may be a new day. Hallelujah. Tomorrow may be the turnaround of your life. Tomorrow may be the day when God introduces himself in a way that you will never tell him again. Amen. Days just before Moses discovered his destiny, he was a shepherd. His thoughts, who could understand the thoughts of Moses, a shepherd out there? Who could have understood what he was thinking? I don't understand myself. Sometimes we just don't understand the thoughts that we have. If you would have asked me to pre-write my son's testimony tonight, I would have had no idea that he was going to say the things that he said. And I sat back there and said, huh, where is that coming from? I know where it's coming from. There's a God somewhere.
Yeah.
And he has on his schedule your appointment.
Right.
Listen to me. He has on his schedule your appointment. His schedule, your appointment. The appointment that makes you have opportunity.
Amen.
You see, Moses could have never answered the questions. All he had been used to is a discipline of delay. He had been delayed. And who would have ever thought that he would have been there 40 years? Probably not Moses. But the struggle for spiritual survival in those 40 years was great for him. That he would maintain his faith for 40 years. That he would maintain it shepherding sheep. That he would be ready at the end of 40 years in a desert without a church, without fellowship, without somebody to talk to about God. But here he is. He is ready. God doesn't have to send him back. He's ready, but he got ready by himself. He got ready because he wanted God, but he did not know when God would ever come back to him. The delay test is our determination. How can you handle delay? Help me, Holy Ghost. That's why it's so important of us to take and get a hold of this truth and learn this object lesson, that there's nothing to hold on to really but hope. Hope that one day God will come hope that one day God will speak. Hope that one day God will have a place for us again. Hope that one day God will speak our name. Hope is the only thing we can hold on to when life goes on day after day after day, just like it's always gone. Till there's 39 years, 11 months, and so many days, and yet God has not spoken. But then on that day before the 40th year, here is God, supernatural God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, now speaking to Moses. The God that was forgotten is now introducing himself again. The God that had been lost in the servitude of Egypt is now presenting himself to us, enslaved nation, and says, Moses, I have heard your cry. I have come down. Where have you been, God, for 40 years? Listening.
Right.
Hearing my people's groanings. But I have now come down. Because God had told Abraham that those people will stay in bondage for 400 years. And now it's over. God's calendar with Abraham has now been transferred to God's calendar with Moses. Praise God.
Right.
And somewhere, somehow, God is working in somebody's life tonight. I feel the sense of the Holy Ghost when I preach to you. You need to listen to me. Don't you miss this. I don't know who you are. I don't even want to know who you are. That's God's business. But there's somebody here tonight that's getting a stirring in your heart. You're hearing it again. God is the hope. Hold on to it. That's the only thing you've got to hold on to till God makes a way in the wilderness. There's the only thing you can hold on to until God sets the bush on fire. It's the only thing you can hold on until God introduces himself. Don't cast away your hope, for it has great recompense of reward.
Right.
Amen.
Come
on. Listen to the psalmist. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemies be exalted over me? Listen, how long, how long, how long? It all sense of delay is there. It's delay after delay after delay. But then all of a sudden the delay is over, and now it's time for God to make himself real. You see, I couldn't have paid the Holy Ghost enough for him to speak before I preached this message. But do you hear the hope in the message? If you come to these altars, if you'll seek my face, I will meet with you. I have good things for you. Hope. Hope is the bell chiming when the dark is the nightest. And when the dark night is most upon us, hope is the bell that lingers and appeal that directs us through the fog to safety. Hope that God will not give up on us. Hope that God has a plan for us. Hope that God can still work us in before it's too late. It doesn't seem like there's much time left, but all God needs sometimes is a man for a few hours. Stephen made the Bible not because of his good works, for one sermon and one sacrifice.
Right.
You know that God has deliverance days scheduled for you. I would love to preach this to Rachel. I would love for her to grasp a hold of it. I'd love for Lonnie to do it, and Sister Lucille and Sister Bobby. I wish I could get them. I'm trying to lead them to that point where they believe there's a deliverance day. If I can just get to that calendar day, if I can just get into the presence of God, if God will just put me on his schedule, if God will just work this thing out for me, I don't have anything else but hope. But don't lose that hope.
Right.
Right.
You say, but it's just the same. It was for 39 years. Look at Jesus. He worked in Joseph's carpenter shop. He learned the skill from Joseph.
Right.
Knowing who he was. Knowing where he came from. Right. Knowing what he was called. Patiently enduring carpenter shop business. When he made the sun and the moon and the stars and the universe. When he made the trees and the river and the fish and the birds, and he made all things and everything was made for him. And yet there he is, enduring the carpenter shop. But then there was a day when he walked out and John was preaching and he went into the water, and when he came out, the heavens opened and God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." It was over. No more carpenter shop. He was on his way to Calvary to save a world. And I can tell you, my friend, don't grow weary in well-doing. You're working, you've got a job, keep at it. You're praying, you're cleaning house, keep at it. Whatever you're doing, keep at it. But know that God is a day of deliverance. And when that day comes, God can work out your problem. When that day comes, it'll be different. When that hour comes, you'll know God has arrived. Trouble was the 39th year. Is the trouble was the 12th month of that 39th year. Was the last day of the 12th month of that year. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. And I was at Hilltop pastoring, and Brother Charlie called me and wanted me to come and preach here. And I told him, "Brother Charlie, I'm not interested. I've got a church." He kept calling, and I kept saying, "No, that's not going to work, Brother Charlie. You're going to have the board to call me." So they called me, and I agreed to come over and preach. I had no intention of being here. It was not in my plans. I'll tell you right now, it was not in my plans. I did not want to pastor this church. I had no design or desire for this church. I had a church. My 39th year, my 12th month, the last day, was when I came off of 70 on the 75 and saw Dayton. And God spoke to my heart that night with just a one phrase, and that's all he said. "The well need not a physician." And that was it. I folded my plans for Indiana. I put them on the shelf, never to take them down again. I came with one intent. That's to do the will of God. Amen.
Thank God.
I have been here. Maybe it was the will of God for my life. Dryden Road. Maybe I am what God thinks I am. I have no idea. But I do know this. The 34 years has come and gone. And we're still in the process of seeing God speak to us. Give us hope. Fan the flame. Stir our hearts. Work in the midst of us. And when we begin to let the fire go out, God stirs it himself. Oh, if somebody shout amen. Every man must come to that time of that moment. Every man must come to understand the delay of God, the discipline of delay. It doesn't mean that you're wrong. It doesn't mean that you're out of step. It doesn't mean that you're backslid. It doesn't mean that God is through with you. It means that God has a date. And when that date comes up on that calendar, God's going to stir you.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Despise not the day of small things, for a journey is started one step at a time. Amen. Despise not the day of the little thing.
Right.
It's a little thing for you to work for a living. Work. Put your heart into it. Whatsoever you find for your heart and hands to do, do it with all of your might. Do it as unto God. He that is faithful in that which is least shall be counted faithful in that which is much. Somebody ought to shout amen.
Amen.
So God is just simply trying us. God is simply stirring us. God is offering us a position. God is just as near as we will let Him. And He can do whatever is necessary to be done to get the job done in you.
Right.
Amen. Learning the waiting time. Learning the waiting time. Amen. We must understand to receive the bigger, better opportunity, we must be on time. The Bible says of Jesus Christ, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. And the fullness of time had come. Oh, I don't know who I'm preaching to. Holy Ghost, help me not to lose their attention. Amen. Very important that you hear me. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And sometimes we despise the day of the small thing. We miss more because we have in our vision the big day. Great revival. Special miracle. God said, don't despise the day of the small thing. Be faithful in your prayer life. You make an appointment with God every morning, keep it. Keep it. You make an appointment with God before you go to bed, keep it. But every man ought to have an appointment with God at least once a day. And you should keep it. You should let anything keep you from that appointment. Nothing is more important than God.
Amen.
Amen. Whatever you have been doing, do it faithfully.
Right.
Don't just start and quit, start and quit, start and quit, start and quit, start and quit. Be faithful.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. So as I come to the conclusion, before I take my seat, I must tell you, whoever you are, the devil will do everything he can to distract you, for he knows your 11th month of the 39th year, and the last day of that month is the most important day of your life. How close are you to it? Let me preach to you prophetically for a moment. The church has a 39th year. You know what the 40th year is in the Bible? Year of Jubilee. See, all of it has deeper meaning. I'm not preaching to you the deeper meaning, but the 40th year was the year when everybody went free. Amen. So the slave that has sold himself in slavery on the 40th year knew he's going to go free. He's going to go back to his wife. And if he had children while he was in slavery, the children got to go with him. Amen. He had to be turned loose. His debt was all clear. He was a free man to start all over again. 40th year means God has put your old life on the shelf and gave you a brand new life, and it's right in front of you. This is your year of Jubilee. This is your year when God had been waiting for you. Hasn't it been strange? We saw Sister Tanya get her year of Jubilee started right over here. I don't think she's been the same since. We've seen Sarah, which is not here tonight. The same thing, opportunity was open to her. And many more have had that knock on their heart. How will you respond? Your hour is now. I am the official deliverer. I have the message. I am delivering it to you tonight. I am the official messenger of God. I am coming to you tonight to tell you this is an appointment you don't want to miss. Lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you and run this race. Run it up to this point. You will receive new spirit. You will receive a new hope. You will receive new faith. You will receive the renewal. You will receive the renewing of your mind and your spirit. It will be a different you if you can only be steadfast until you get to that hour. You've said in your heart, God does not know, not me. Why would he even look at me? I say to thee, I have known thee before the foundation of the world. I have waited now, but I will wait no longer. Come to me. Come now, because you feel the stirring of my spirit in your heart. Come. I am standing ready to deliver you. I am standing ready to turn your steps about. I am ready to show thee my deliverance, saith the Lord. It's the only way to do it. Every man for himself, every woman for herself. It's now what's going on in your heart. Sister Barb, Thank you.